Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. These discussions come from his radio show on sosradio.net. It's a Christian radio station you can plug in with for music or conversation.
It's just what God has done in my heart, what God has done in me, who I was, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago to who I am now through this journey about how God has changed my heart.
Thanks for supporting the podcast.
Sometimes you just feel like you want revenge when somebody hurts you. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with New York Times bestselling author Timothy Keller today. And Timothy, the story of Jonah is one of the most known stories in the Bible. And it's one of the most relatable because I think if we're honest, we see a lot of ourselves in the character of Jonah. The fear, the disobedience, the selfishness, the proud. But along with Jonah, we desire a God sometimes who will spite the bad people and reward the good people. That just seems to be our nature as humans. But desiring revenge and punishment isn't how we're intended to live, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, that's one of the best ways to summarize the book of Jonah is in the first half of the book, he refuses to go tell the Ninevites the truth. But in the second half of the book, he goes to tell them the truth, but he doesn't do it in love. He goes to the city, but he doesn't love the city. And the very last question that God asked Jonah is, he said, why don't you have compassion on this city the way I do? So it's not enough simply to tell them the truth spitefully, like you said, arrogantly. If we don't speak the truth in love, nobody will ever actually believe the truth. We're not really honoring the truth. If you speak the truth without love, the other person just gets defensive and they get very angry and they never persuaded. So yes, we live in a time in which we speak the truth with spite, with condescension, with venom. And the book of Jonah is to say you do have to speak the truth. You have to warn people, tell people about God's judgment, but you have to do it in love.
So throughout the study of the book of Jonah, what do you think is the most misunderstood truth from his story?
Well, it's the second half that's missing in most people's minds. It might be that the Sunday school way of telling the story of Jonah, it starts with the command, Jonah running away, the storm, he's thrown into the water, he's swallowed by the fish, he repents, and then he goes to preach to Nineveh. And that's where most people think the story ends, but actually that's only the first half of the story. And the first half of the story, I guess, would get across this idea that you should speak the truth and you should obey God. It's only the second half of the story that shows that Jonah was motivated by politics, like he didn't want the Assyrians to find God's mercy because they were a threat to his country. He did it self-righteously in a pharisaical way. And so lots of those lessons only come up when you realize it's a complete story. It's not just about the first half, it's also about the second half.
We've all been in that place in our lives where God calls us to do something that we really don't want to do. And we're talking to New York Times bestselling author Timothy Keller today on SWS Radio. And Timothy, as Jonah's story plays out, and God calls him to go to this place called Nineveh. It was like the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And during that time, the Assyrians and the people of Judah and Israel were not friends. I mean, they were the people that were trying to destroy Jonah's homeland. So to go straight to Nineveh to preach repentance with a genuine heart was definitely a bitter pill to swallow, huh?
Well, it certainly was. It was personally, it looked suicidal because obviously to go into an enemy capital and tell them to repent meant he himself might have been killed. But then politically it looked suicidal because these were the political enemies and military enemies of Israel. And so it looked like he was aiding and abetting the enemy. And yet God is actually asking him to have a loving concern for people's spiritual good that transcends his own self-interest and his political interest. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but that's the message.
I find it interesting that in the midst of the storm, the sailors were actually showing more compassion towards Jonah, not wanting to throw him overboard, than Jonah was showing for the spiritually lost people in Nineveh. He's like, I don't want to go. I'm not helping them. I mean, how eye-opening should that be for us as Christ followers when a lot of people who don't have a relationship with Jesus are showing tons of compassion into our community, more care than we do sometimes?
Well, I think that's one of the big lessons here is that the Bible says that all human beings are made in the image of God. And because we're all in the image of God, we all reflect God in certain ways. And it means that even in people who are non-believing, they don't believe in God or they don't believe the truth, they still have a lot of wisdom and they have a lot of goodness. You might say the lesson is that in true believers like Jonah, there's so much sin, but in non-believers like the pagans, there's actually a lot of admirable qualities. And therefore, we should not feel superior to them because we all need to be saved by grace. The non-believers need to be saved by grace, but we do too because we have sinned. And so the message of the book is to say to believers, don't be superior. Don't look at people of other races. Don't look at other people of other religions with that attitude of superiority and arrogance.
Loving the people who love us back, that's not the hard part, but loving people who have hurt us, that's difficult. I'm Scott Harreld on SWS Radio. We're talking about all of that with author Timothy Keller today on SWS Radio. Relating to people who are different than us or hold different worldviews, it's tough, but Jesus says we got to love our neighbor as ourselves, even if they have a different worldview, even if they have a different background, even if they hurt us. And when Jesus explains that in the Bible, we've got to think about how this applies practically. I mean, how do we be a little more intentional about doing this in our workplace and in our schools when it can feel like a hostile environment?
You're exactly right. When Jesus Christ is asked, what does it mean to love your neighbor? He points in his parable of the Good Samaritan to a man who loves someone very practically and at personal risk, because the Good Samaritan stops on a dangerous road. He gives someone very practical material who is of a different race and a different religion than he is. And that's what Jesus points to as our model. Now, what that means for us as Christians is that we should look at the people around us, many of whom, maybe most of whom, don't believe as we do, many of whom are of a different race, and we need to ask ourselves, what practical thing can we do? Do the schools need to be better? Do the streets need to be safer? Are there poor people around that we could give to? And so we're supposed to find practical ways of helping the people around us, and whether they believe like we do or not. That's the message of the Good Samaritan. Jonah is the anti-Good Samaritan. In other words, Jonah points to the Good Samaritan by way of contrast. He looks at people who are a different race and different religion, and he doesn't want to sacrifice for them. But the Good Samaritan is the model that Jesus points us to.
We're talking to author Timothy Keller today at SWS Radio, and you wrote a book, it's called The Prodigal Prophet, and breaks down the story of Jonah and how God's still able to use him despite his poor attitude and even his poor judgment. But even despite Jonah's blatant refusal to actually obey God and his begrudging attitude after the fish spat him out ashore, Jonah proved instrumental in saving an entire city from just utter destruction. I mean, what kind of encouragement can we take away from this story, knowing that despite our past, despite our pride, there's times, even with a lackluster attitude, that God can still use us to be his vessel, to do his work?
Look, when Jonah goes to Nineveh, we're told what he says. All he says is, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. He doesn't say, oh, and if you repent, maybe God will have mercy on you. It's a very poor sermon, if you might put it that way. And his attitude is very poor, because he's filled with arrogance and self-righteousness. And yet God uses it in order to turn the city around. And what that certainly means is, as somebody once said, God can write straight with crooked pencils, that God can use us. In fact, all of us are broken. The fact that he does work through us is always an amazing act of his mercy. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do well. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try to preach well and do it the right way. But in the end, it doesn't depend on our performance. That's the point. We don't have to have it all together. If you're trying to help a friend, for example, and you say, oh, I don't even know how to talk about Jesus. I'm so inarticulate. I don't know my Bible. Hey, don't worry. Just reach out. Just love. Love in Jesus' name, and God can use you.
When we faced our deepest moments of despair and frustration, a lot of times God uses that to really build a comeback story if we allow him to do his thing. I'm Scott Harreld on SWS Radio, and we're talking with New York Times bestselling author Timothy Keller on SWS Radio. And Jonah's story, he was preaching repentance, saying, hey, 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. And you know what? The people of Nineveh actually did repent. I don't think Jonah ever thought that was going to happen. I mean, living in a city like we live in, we think about the same sort of things. I mean, what would it take for a real revival to come through? I mean, how can such a unique story make for encouragement in our everyday prayers for these sort of things in the areas that we live, Timothy?
Well, that's great. Again, a great question. What happened in Nineveh was actually social reform. It was just a first step. They were not all converted. There's no indication that they started sacrificing and called on the name of Yahweh. The pagan sailors, by the way, in chapter 1, looked like they really got converted. In Nineveh, it looks like they didn't go that far. They just took the first step, and they said, we have to stop exploiting each other. We have to stop doing violence to each other. And so what you actually have is an improvement in society. Right now, I think most of us feel like our society is getting worse and worse, and it's never going to get better. But here you go. Here's a flawed man that God uses in order to make that society a less violent, exploitative society. So it really is a sign to us to say, you should never give up hope. You should never say, oh, there's nothing we can do for this country. Never. So the book of Jonah is a way of saying, always have hope. always have hope for your country, always have hope for your city.
The Book of Jonah ends really abruptly. I mean, what do you make of such a cliffhanger ending?
Well, I think it's brilliant. First of all, though I have to admit, on TV shows, I hate cliffhanger endings. But it's brilliant for two reasons. One is, it's almost like that last question where God says, why don't you have compassion on these people like I have compassion on them? And he's trying to bring Jonah to the point where he's finally able to be a true prophet who speaks the truth in love. So he asks that final question, and then Jonah disappears because the book ends. But in a way, Jonah gets out of the way, and that final question comes right at us. And I think if Jonah had stayed in the story, we might have been looking at how he responded. But actually, I think the author of the Book of Jonah is trying to say, how will you respond? What will you do with this question? Are you speaking the truth in love? Are you seeing yourself as a recipient of God's mercy? You see, Jonah's big problem was he couldn't understand why God would be merciful to the Assyrians, and it's mainly because he didn't see that God was being merciful to him. That the only reason God didn't smite him in the first three verses was because of God's mercy. So the more you see yourself as a person standing and living only in God's mercy, the more you'll be able to be merciful to people. But Jonah gets out of the way so that we can ask the question about ourselves. And by the way, one last thing. The cliffhanger ending, I think, yeah, we don't know what happened to Jonah, but I think we can guess. I think we can make a very good guess. Because why would we even know about that last conversation unless Jonah told somebody? And why would Jonah have told somebody about something that made him look so bad unless he had finally repented and seen that he was a sinner saved by grace?
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.